Welcome back to the Christian Life Podcast, where we have good conversations for practical Christian living. Today we're on episode number 23, and we are your hosts, Michael Brazier and Art Nurnberg, and we're going to be talking about forgiveness. And as we talk about forgiveness, I think it's important to understand why the topic is relevant to Christians today. It's always relevant. We are always called to forgive. But especially today, you said like you have a big burden for young people that they learn to forgive. And it has to do with our cultural setting. It has to do with the technology that we are engaged in, like social media. And so it's important that we forgive. So how about you kind of talk about why forgiveness is vital for Christians?
The problem is the reason I have concern for people today is, first of all, because the society, being a godless society, doesn't have an answer for injustice. Mm. That is past injustice. So once something happens that's wrong, there's nothing we can do about it in one sense. I mean, a wrong thing happened. It's there. It's history. You can't go back and undo it. From a Christian perspective, and we'll talk about that later, and the only thing we can do is forgive it. I mean, if we're going to live at peace, otherwise we'll be bitter. We're in a culture which doesn't believe in God. And forgiveness, we'll think about that, but forgiveness, my ability to forgive a person depends greatly on my confidence in the justice of God. If he isn't taking care of things, then it's up to me, and then everything goes haywire. Third thing that I'm particularly concerned about in our own days, I watch cultures out of that, is the fact that our culture doesn't forgive. Mm. Our culture is basically teaching people that I have a right to be offended and that offense can go on. Now, we will talk about a Christian can get offended. Mm-hmm. You'd be angry at sin, I mean, if when it happens. But the Bible also tells us that anger concerning the wrongness of things in this earth has to be very short-lived. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And we'll think about it with regards to forgiveness. But it's pressured. And I do feel for young people today. I'm not much into the social media world, but I know a little bit about how it works and what's going on. And I just remember when I was in high school, everybody wasn't my friend. Mm-hmm. But your friends were over there, and they might bully you once in a while. They might say something to you, but you knew, and you just separate it. But now with social media, there's the potential for a person who doesn't like you to harass you with that. Yeah. And not only harass you with their opinion of who you are, but also to do this anonymously so that you're really being hammered. Yeah. You could be, potentially. So because of that continuous feedback you get from people, mm-hmm. the need to know how I can forgive and to stay free of that is to stay free from the hurt of all that is a skill which I think is more important to 20-year-old kids than it ever was to me.
Yeah.
Although, again, we all have to forgive. But so I'm greatly burdened because, again, I see so much of culture is bitter. It's angry.
Yeah,
it's angry about things that were wrong. But you can't change the things that were wrong. You can only deal with them and how to deal with them. They really don't have an answer.
Yeah.
And forgiveness is tied up with that. It's a critical part of Christian living.
Yeah. I think cyberbullying, like the online bullying, is really hard for young people because they're all on it.
Right.
All their friends are on it. All their enemies are on there.
Right.
And like the algorithms of social media are fueled by controversy.
Right.
And if there's a lot of, and hate. And so many things are like, people just post nasty comments on your post or this, and you may get a million views or something. And there's just bunches of comments that are just really hurtful to people. And so learning as a Christian as a young Christian, to forgive in that instance, because like, who are you forgiving also is like a question that we'll jump into, because like, are you forgiving? Maybe there's a person on the other side of the screen, but maybe they're not, maybe they're a robot. And there's that mentality of it as well. And so forgiveness, the topic, is really relevant. And so I'm excited that we're talking about it today, because I think hopefully it will encourage young people as they walk with the Lord, because forgiveness is such a tangible part of that. So let's jump into the aspect of, like, you kind of talked about different angles of viewing it, and we want to talk about it from specifically the angle of between me and God, that
right.
first.
Right.
Like, what happens in that process? So, kind of, you want to tee it off?
Yeah, let's think about the different ways you can look at it, just real quickly, so that we'll know why we're picking this one out. Forgiveness has a lot of different aspects to it, and in practically working it out, that's what we have to finally practically work it out.
Yeah.
Has to work out between people. One side of it is what happens in my own heart. How do I forgive? Mm-hmm. And that's the bitterness side of it. Another subject which is often confused with forgiveness is reconciliation. Right? Reconciliation, in order for an experience where there has been a division between people to be reconciled, there has to be forgiveness. But that's a different matter.
Yeah.
All right. That's taking this and, okay, that interaction between people is a second matter. Then forgiveness can be viewed from the other side, the person who needs forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And what are the issues if I am seeking to be forgiven and may not find people to mm-hmm. be responsive to that and on down the line? So, again, they overlap a great deal, but we're concentrating on this question. What about my own heart? What about my own heart? I'm really big on my concern on this, because we have no option but to forgive. Christians, mm-hmm. forgive. That's just, the Lord was really clear on that one.
Yeah.
Early on in his ministry, as he gave the Sermon on the Mount and told people how to pray, he said that we are to ask that God would forgive us the same way that we have already forgiven others. That's what the thought is. Forgive us the same way that we are forgiving others. And then he returns to that and says, because if you don't forgive, you're not meant to be forgiven. Now, I think he's dealing there primarily with the question of fellowship with him in my daily fellowship, not justification, but in daily fellowship. If I want to experience fellowship with God, I have to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
At the very end of his ministry, he's talking, this is in the book of Mark, it's in the last week of his ministry, he's talking about prayer, and he says this, and it reads exactly the same way. It's a very demanding verse. It reads the same way in the ESV as it does the New American Standard, almost word for word. And he says, and whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone. Just every time you come to pray, because the stand to pray is, mm-hmm. we would say kneel to pray, because
yeah.
that's our formula for prayer. But in the Jewish world, it was you stood to pray, and you looked up to heaven. Every time you stand there, he says, forgive if you have anything against anyone. And then he says this, because if you don't, you won't be forgiven.
Yeah.
So he ties my ability, or my willingness, I shouldn't say ability so much as willingness, to forgive other people, mm-hmm. to my experience of his forgiveness, which leads to my ability to walk with him in a happy manner, if you would,
yeah.
on a daily basis. So, so it's a very important subject to understand.
Anyway. What then is forgiveness? Like, when we talk about the process of becoming right with God, like, we kind of talked about that in reconciliation or in justification, but like, in the process of forgiveness in relationship to other people and our heart towards God, like, how does that process work, and what
okay.
is it?
Okay. And I think that a key element to all this is that we remember that, first of all, on this first aspect of forgiveness, mm-hmm. we're thinking about forgiveness as a relationship with God, not with the other person.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It starts off with what we are before God, because he says, when you stand praying, forgive. Do it right then.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very important verse, because it indicates there is an aspect of forgiveness which has nothing to do with the other person's response or talking to them or working out anything with them. This has to do between me and God, because when I'm praying, he doesn't tell you to go and seek forgiveness or to forgive them out there. When you're standing, when you're there, you got your hands out, you're ready to pray, do it right then and then pray. Okay. So it's between me and God. That's the first thing we need to be clear, that it begins with my heart before God and my attitude about a hurt which has taken place. Okay. So the second thing then is that to understand forgiveness is we have to realize that forgiveness has to do with letting go of an inward pain because of somebody's actions. Somebody could accidentally throw a ball through the window of my car. Right?
Yeah.
They may need to do a restoration there, you know, and pay for that. And, you know, that deals with an external thing. There's a lot of bumps and bruises we experience in life, which are external. They're just things that happen, but they don't affect my inward heart attitude towards the person. They don't leave a hurt. Mm-hmm. Now, again, if a guy, my neighbor decides to, and I have good neighbors, so they wouldn't decide this, but my neighbor decides to cut down his tree and purposely drop it on my car.
Yeah.
Restoring my car would be necessary, but, there's more to it than that. Why did you do that? And that causes an inward hurt and an antagonism. And so it does have to do with an action which has caused pain. Mm-hmm. And a whole lot of the problem of forgiveness is around that pain. Yeah. What are we going to do with that?
Yeah. And I think like forgiveness is, in an aspect, surrendering the right to hurt others for how they hurt you.
Right.
And
well, that's a good way to put it.
Because like Jesus said, like an eye for an eye, he was like giving that. And, but like, that's not what he then called them to something other than that. And so like we have surrendered that right to hurt them because ultimately God is the God of justice and he will deal with the wrongdoing.
Right.
Ultimately. But our heart mentality is giving that right up. So
and that's what we have to do. We have to come to a place. Neil Anderson in his book, Bondage Break, you may not agree with everything he says there, but in the end there, he's going over forgiveness and bitterness, and he encapsulates the whole subject very quickly. And what he says there is that in one line, it goes roughly like this, that in forgiveness, we agree to live with the consequences of another person's actions. Mm. We agree to live, and in another place, I think he puts it this way, we agree to live peaceably with the consequences of another person's actions. The peaceably is very important because we're going to live with them anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, once something happens, this is important to our whole mentality concerning forgiveness. Once something happens to us, it can't be undone. The past cannot be undone. Yeah. And dealing with the past and forgiving in the past is one of the two big problems that Christians face, right? One is the past has caused us hurt and we can have bitterness. The other is the future causes us fear.
Yeah.
So if we could handle the fear aspect and the bitterness aspect, we're free to live in a real sense. That covers a huge part of the stress of the human soul. And if we're going to be free, if we're going to know eternal life, if we're going to know abundant life, we have to be free from the fear of the future, and we have to be free of the bitterness from the past.
Yeah.
So the only thing we can do is forgive, and we agree. But we have to face what our hearts say to us when we go to do that, because it's easy to say, well, I'm going to do this, but we protest. Why do we have trouble with that? Why do we have trouble? And this is where the big act of faith comes. Just live by faith. We have trouble because it seems wrong. Forgiveness seems wrong. And I do think it's rather humorous that ungodly cultures, and that's one we live in, which tends to believe in evolution and we're here and there is no God and all the rest of it, still has social justice warriors. Why do we need justice? Because there's injustice.
And it's something so innate in us. And we all feel it. And that was wrong. And it can be things from way back in history. You can all agree that was wrong.
Right.
We may disagree on the outcome or how to correct that wrongdoing. But innately, we all feel that things are wrong. That is an injustice. And that obviously is from God. Because we are a reflection of him. And so he feels justice. He desires justice.
Right. And so some of the problem of forgiveness comes from the image of God in us.
Yeah.
That wrong things shouldn't be allowed to continue. All right. That this has to be changed. Things should be made right.
Yeah.
Okay. And the question is going to be how are they going to be made right? Right. Mm-hmm. And what God is saying to us is that, yes, it was unjust. In any real attitude of forgiveness has to face the fact that the problem was wrong. If I don't face the wrongness of it, I can't really forgive, because we forgive wrong. Mm-hmm. We don't forgive things which just we didn't like. They have to be something that's wrong if you're going to forgive them. Mm-hmm. And that you are forgiving that wrong, but you're forgiving that wrong not because you're saying that it wasn't a problem. You're saying in forgiveness that I'm not the one to sort out justice. Mm-hmm. That is a great great place to come to. Mm-hmm. That I am not the judge of the earth. Yeah. That sorting out what is right and what is wrong is up to God. Doesn't mean government can't do things. It doesn't mean that in families we don't try to teach people the right way. And that doesn't interfere. That's a whole different subject.
Yeah.
But it means this, that finally justice is in my hands. And when I try to enact justice, I tend to create more injustice.
Mm-hmm.
That's just human nature. Mm-hmm. We don't see clearly. So God says, give it up. Turn it over to me.
Yeah.
Every problem that's occurred will be justly met in the end. So it is actually our image of God, or the image of God in us, that causes us the problem.
Yeah.
But what we have to do is admit we're not God, and that's why people, again, in a sense, I can see why the social justice warriors get all stirred up, because there's something in you that says things are wrong, and they're hurt, and somehow we have to sort all this out. And again, I think they're doing it the wrong way. And I think but on the other hand, I can't completely say this is strange.
Yeah.
But if God isn't going to finally take care of it, and we realize how much injustice there is in this earth, and we can't take care of it, it has to lead to what it is leading to in our culture. And that's a lot of anger and bitterness and divisions and...
Yeah.
Because I can't do anything about wrongs of the past except forgive them.
Yeah.
I can't change them. I just can't change what happened.
Mm-hmm. So I think forgiveness, as we're looking at it, it's unconditional.
Right.
There's really no condition set on it. It doesn't excuse what was done. It doesn't say that it was not as bad. It was.
Right.
It was typically terrible. But forgiveness is also not... It doesn't require us to trust, say, an individual who has wronged us.
Right.
It requires us to forgive them, to let go of that bitterness, to surrender the right to hurt them. You could say it that way. But it doesn't require us to trust them. Can we talk about that? Because I think that's an important conversation that people have real questions about.
And you get into this. That gets you into the reconciliation matter.
Yeah.
If someone has hurt me and we've divided. Let's just make it get something out there that we can look at. Okay. A husband has stepped out on his wife, right? He's committed adultery. All right. She's required to forgive him, But she is not required to treat him as if he doesn't have that problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That he should try to reconcile this issue, and she should try to heal the relationship so that she can trust him in the future if he can prove that he is trustworthy. Yeah. But an action like that forfeits trust, and I would be foolish to trust a person who has proved themselves untrustworthy. Mm-hmm. If I lend you money and you don't pay me back, well, forgive him, and I lend you more money, and you prove to me that you don't pay it back,
yeah.
I'm not required to keep on treating you as if you are an honest person.
Yeah.
But in my own heart, I can't hold that against you. Mm-hmm. I may have to treat you a certain way in order, for your sake and for the sake of relationship, because I can't pour money down that drain. But I'm not required to pretend that you are something you are not. Mm-hmm. So, but that is a reconciliation problem, but it's a very important one. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, particularly with regards to marriage, women are asked to treat their husbands in ways you're going like, well, why would you do that? The man has proved himself, mm-hmm. or has demonstrated he has at least the problem of cutting out. Until he has determined, until you see the repentance, you can't trust.
Mm-hmm.
But the trust isn't the problem. Is there bitterness? Lack of trust is not bitterness. It's just honesty about who you're dealing with. So, again, that's two different problems, but it's a very important one.
Yeah, it is an important one. Now, bitterness is kind of the would you say bitterness is the opposite of forgiveness? Like, if you don't forgive, bitterness is, I don't know if that's the opposite of.
What's the result of
it? It's the result,
Not forgiving is a bitterness which leads to vengeance at times.
Yeah.
That vengeance can be active vengeance, or it can be what they call passive resistance to a person, just cool.
Yeah.
Instead of being actively trying to hurt them, you just ignore them. All right. So, but it all boils down to a bitterness which is in the heart, a hurt that festers in the heart. And when a person is in that condition, and no matter what the problem was, they're not free.
Mm.
God came to set us free. We can't change the past. So if we're going to be free from the past, and God's going to be able to do this for us, something has to happen in our heart. And that's the reason why we have to concentrate first on the issue. This is between me and God.
Mm-hmm.
Because suppose, as one man said, I'm not sure who this was, is it that there are people out there, if it depends on me restoring the relationship, well then, for the forgiveness to take hold, then I'm in trouble because I can't control anybody else's life. Yeah. They may be happy that I'm hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And they may die happy that I'm hurt. People who have hurt me may not even be inside the circle of my opportunity to seek out.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be first in my heart, because I can't control anybody else. And if I'm going to be free, it can't depend on your attitude towards me.
Yeah.
It can't depend on your response to me. So it's first of all between me and God, and that's where it's sorted out so that, okay, if I was hurt by somebody who died, and I mean really hurt, I'm still okay because, I still have the hurt because that's the nature. I agreed to live with that.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, and this brings another subject that people think sometimes, well, if I forgive, then the pain of the past disappears. And that is not true. That is psychologically not true. It may disappear in time if I keep refusing to feed it.
Yeah.
But if someone has been deeply hurt by somebody else, it is a deep wound. I mean, people have been abused. You can forgive, but that act of forgiveness doesn't, I mean, those memories, they're always there and they can always come back. Yeah. I think a lot of people are hurt by the fact that, okay, after they thought they had forgiven, then the flood of pain from that comes back. They say, well, does this mean I haven't forgiven? Well, I don't know. Yeah. I think you can have forgiven honestly and it comes back. I think maybe you didn't forgive. But what do I do at that point? Forgive.
Yeah.
If I have anything, if it comes back. And if I keep that attitude, it does disappear. I'm not feeding it anymore. But it doesn't remove the pain.
Yeah.
I've agreed to live with that pain.
Yeah.
And that's the hurt of what happened isn't removed. And that this takes us down to the heart of the gospel, is where it gets you. At the cross, Jesus agreed to live with the hurt of all my sin. He agreed to peaceably take it to himself. And he was forever, in one sense, changed. He will be the Lamb of God throughout eternity because I sinned. And I will experience great fellowship with him, but he will still absorb that.
Yeah.
And then I can't fully grasp that. I can't enter into it. I'm not going to battle theological words about it, but he agreed to do that. And that's why Christians forgive ultimately, because he did that. And he looks at me and says, okay, when somebody hurts you, one person hurts you one time, you forgive them and keep on doing it. Yeah. So it's
Jesus is able to enter in to those situations our deepest hurt because he himself experienced great hurt for the sake of loving us and he forgave us.
Right.
And so that is like the ultimate example of forgiveness and what that looks like.
And it goes that way. And there's another, done a lot of reading on this, but another man put it this way, that whenever there is forgiveness, there's loss. Mm. Forgiveness always accepts a loss. It's just the dealing with the pain means that, something has been lost, and I'm going to stop the pain of all this. I'm going to stop the cycle of sin here by forgiving. Jesus dealt with, he experienced a loss because I had sinned. Everywhere there's sin, there's loss, and forgiveness always involves someone absorbing the loss. And what we're asked to do in our Christian life as Christians on this earth is to absorb that loss and to put off the judgment issue to God and live peaceably so we can be free.
Yeah.
To be today what we need to be to the people around us. Right? So
one person I saw, she said that joy and sorrow often coexist in scripture. She said, but joy and bitterness can never coexist.
Right.
And I think when we forgive and we let go of that bitterness, we're able to then enter into the joy of that situation again and have that joy and the peace. It doesn't discount the sorrow because the sorrow is still there from the hurt and the wrongdoing. But we have forgiven. And in that sense, we're like, Lord Jesus, we have forgiven. And we can enjoy that. How can a young person who, let's go back to our first scenario, who faces, say, cyberbullying, how do they use this conversation on forgiveness in their lives?
Okay, I think with the first step, there's a couple steps. This is how we can look at it. Number one, you have to face the fact that it's wrong. Okay, what happened to you was wrong. You have to say it. And this is always important, not only just in cyberbullying, but oftentimes the person who hurts people is a person who is respected by the people. And there is a tendency to not view their actions as sin. But when I say that something is wrong, I'm not accusing, I am accusing the person, but I'm getting ready to forgive them.
Yeah.
So I'm not I'm not going to hold it. So if I was to say, that, okay, here it is. First step, I got to acknowledge that. Then I've got to face it in an act of will. I've got to commit that to God. I've got to let it go before God. And it's an act, and I think it's worthwhile doing, an act of, Lord, I'm putting this in your hand. I am putting the justice issue for all of this in your hands. Mm. At that point, you will be tested, I think, as to whether or not your security is in God's love for you. Mm. Because this could get really rough. I mean, think about the Lord on the cross. Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, virtually everybody around him was against mm-hmm. him. Everybody. Yeah. But Father, forgive them. He's still dealing with his Father. Mm-hmm. So I have to acknowledge it. Then I have to put it in God's hands. And then you're letting it go. You're just letting it go. Mm-hmm. And you're going back to what we sung for. I'm going to live in the security of who I am in the Lord. Mm-hmm. I have to always be doing that. But again, social media, it's a tough one because it's so continual and it's so, some of it's artificial, right? Just, again, you could, as you said, you could be being bullied by a robot, which was programmed by somebody. I mean, I don't know. It's one that I kind of go, take it with a grain of salt, what's said on there, because you don't even know what's being actually said.
Yeah,
but still, if it is a person you know, and you still have to go back to it, and you have to return to your life in Christ, this is is where my life really is, and you have to let it go. You have to turn it over to Him, and because ultimately we're called to love the people around us.
Yeah.
It's the people that are actually around us, and the people actually around us are the people who are causing us pain.
Mm-hmm.
Peter was right around the Lord, but Peter denied the Lord. Peter's denial caused the Lord pain.
Yeah.
That was his friend, right? That was his probably most devoted friend, maybe. You would know that might be going too far, but he was right at the core.
Yeah.
He and James and John were the core of Jesus' friends. But he hurt him. And we're going to be hurt by the people right around us. But we still have to reach out to those people. We have to be something to them. Mm-hmm. So we have to forgive.
Yeah.
And Christians do. And it is one. If a person isn't finding the capacity to let this go, then they do have to ask the question about, do I really understand the cross? Do I understand forgiveness? Do I understand what God has done for me? If I can, I'm saying that because that's what the Lord said.
Yeah.
If you don't understand this, then you don't understand that.
Yeah.
And you'll never know real life, right? You'll never know real life. So I think the first step is that you've got to acknowledge that it's wrong, and then you have to put it in God's hands, and then you have to purposefully let that person go. Mm-hmm. You let them go. You make up your mind. It's an act of will. That by the grace of God, you're not going to extract vengeance from them, either by active vengeance or by the coolness of cutting them off.
Yeah.
That's your two directions.
It's really helpful. And I think that's applicable to not just social media, but so many parts of life, like relationships to parents, our relationships to children, our relationship to spouses, to people in our church, to people at work.
Right.
There's endless opportunity to demonstrate forgiveness.
Right.
We should always look to the Lord Jesus because he's our ultimate example of what that looks like.
Right.
Do you have anything else you want to add?
I think we should mention one other thing.
I think
one of the, there are two sides of the problem, I think, in forgiveness, in the spectrum of the things we might want to forgive or might need to forgive. There are two problem areas. One is the one's extreme on the one side where you were really, really hurt. I mean, where something was done which is unspeakably bad. People have difficulty over there. But the other side of it is this, that not actually forgiving small offenses. Because if you don't forgive them, they pile up.
Mm.
And I think that that thought of if you have anything against anyone, it includes the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. It includes the smallest thing. It includes the most evil person. It includes the nicest person. But if you've got something against them, forgive it. Because if I don't, when something happens to me and it hurts me, if I don't forgive it, it piles up. It's no big deal. Well, if it's no big deal, then it'll get forgotten. But if you remember it again, it is a big deal. So forgive it. Yeah. Always make sure that you continually are forgiving so that things don't pile up on you and you don't get to a place where all of a sudden you've got a really bad attitude and you can't even define why.
Yeah.
But it isn't because of an action. It's because of the collection of small offenses that weren't dealt with over a long period of time.
Yeah.
But again, that's a whole other subject.
No, but I think that's helpful to remind ourselves of, both of those. So, okay. Well, thank you for listening to this podcast. Of course, you can listen to all of our previous podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And you can follow us across our social channels. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And we'll see you again next week.